First week of the month, December
2019,
yeah. And we're in Columbus with Mayor Jim Lynn. Thank you so much for having us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
So we missed you last month because November, it was election week, and
right.
Tuesday was election day, which is when we do this show. So we have a lot to catch up on. So let's just start with the election. You ran uncontested.
You'll
be mayor again.
It was fairly anticlimactic, because I did not have an opponent.
Right.
But that's okay. And so, we're going to serve four more years. We're kind of excited about that. We've got a lot of projects underway, as I'm sure we'll talk about. So we need to sort of push those along and get them, see them come to fruition.
But it was still an exciting election because there's some new city council candidates
right.
who will be sworn in January 1st.
Right, right. As you mentioned, the swearing in will be January 1, 10 a.m. downstairs in the Cal Brand meeting room. Public's invited, but we typically don't get too big of a public crowd on New Year's Day. But all seven members of our city council ran for re-election, and five of them were re-elected. So we feel pretty good about that. Daskal Bunch in the first district lost by one vote to Jerome Wood. And one of the at-large candidates, Lori Boer, lost to Grace Kessler. So, we'll have a few new faces, but, that's the way it works. Candidly, when you take a look at what the council will be like, it'll be probably a little bit more representative of Columbus, a little bit more representative of some of the diversity that we have here. So we're kind of excited about that and look forward to working with them.
Yeah, you mentioned the one vote official recount is underway. So
right. It's still up in the
yeah.
air with respect to that. We had a recount a few years ago when Frank Jerome was first elected to city council. He won by two votes, and there was a recount then, and the results were upheld. That'd be the expectation here. There's not a lot that can go wrong, really. There's a lot of discussion about voting issues nationwide, but here in the local election, municipal election, there really isn't a lot that can go wrong. I mean, there were several, maybe 50 or so hand ballots, mail-in type ballots, and so, there could be a problem or an issue with one of those, but they'll work through that, and we should know maybe by the 20th or certainly by the first of the year, whether the election results will be upheld. But we're going to plan as though the election will go forward as it unfolded on November 5th.
Of course, that made news. The other part that made news was the first Democratic majority on the council since 1983.
Yeah.
As a Republican mayor, does that worry you?
No. I mean, local municipal issues really don't lend themselves to Democrats and Republicans. I mean, we're pushing snow and picking up garbage and, trying to do the right thing for the city. And we don't get into, immigration issues or abortion or some of those things that are a little bit more of a flashpoint related to, left and right politics. So, as I said before, five of the city council members got reelected. And I sort of view that as an endorsement of what we're doing. And I look forward to working with them. I don't anticipate having any issues.
So, we ask this with Mayor Hamilton in Bloomington too, because the election cycle is a chance for residents to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Usually if you're contested, there are debates, and you really didn't go through much of that, did you?
Not at all.
Yeah.
The issues that would have surfaced did come forward in the council debates. I mean, there were several forums or discussions where council members were asked about the Riverfront project or the Fair Oaks project or housing in the city. I mean, kinds of issues that would have come up. And I think in most cases what came forward was that the city's on the right track. I mean, we're doing things that people appreciate. There might be a little tweak around the edges here and there. And so we welcome the opportunity to work with the council and iron those out.
And I'm sure you probably don't miss all the campaigning, or maybe you do. I don't know.
Uncontested is pretty. It's much more relaxed. I mean, we had a campaign in the primary, and it's just one of those things where you get through it. Every now and then people say some things that you wish they wouldn't, but you can't let yourself get wound up in that. It can be a little exhausting because you've got a lot of events to get to and events to be prepared for, and But everything works out, I mean, in the end. And so we're going to serve four more years, and we're looking forward to it.
You mentioned this a little bit, though, but without all the debates and campaigning, how do constituents here in Columbus kind of keep the mayor in check?
Well, I get a lot of feedback. I mean, either emails or people stop me on the street or stop me at the grocery store and tell me what they're thinking. And the city council that we have does a pretty good job of staying close to their constituents, and so I get a fair amount of feedback from them. And I feel like we have a pretty good pulse or a pretty good handle on the pulse of the community. So we hear what people have to say.
So Fair Oaks Mall redevelopment project is moving forward. Just recently announced signing a contract with, is it Taylor Brothers?
Yeah, Taylor Brothers.
Where are they based out of?
They're in Columbus.
Okay.
They're a construction firm. And the whole notion is that we've got some things that we want to do in there. And it's just for an example, there might be a pickleball court or an office. And so how difficult or easy is that going to be to retrofit the facility to or for? And so, you know, we need somebody with a little bit of expertise in construction that can help us understand, you know, how best to go about that. And that's what we hope to get from Taylor Brothers on this.
And they're working with, of course, the city, and the big partner is MKSK, right? They're the
right.
design
they're
firm.
They're the design firm, yeah.
And there was a third meeting earlier this month, in November.
Yeah, there was a meeting
in December
in November,
already,
right.
Yeah.
And there'll be another meeting next week, December 10th, 6 p.m. out of Fair Oaks Mall. So another opportunity for the public to come see what we're about and, you know, sort of how the plans have progressed.
Are these still feedback meetings, or are these more of here's
what's
going?
Well, we'll listen to whatever anybody has to say, but I think we've sort of moved beyond that. I mean, this is sort of what we heard, you know, and we're part of the issue you get into is that when you solicit the public's opinion, you get a lot of opinions, and that's good, but sooner or later, somebody has to make choices about which of those opinions we can follow and which ones we just can't make work, and so, you know, part of what we're about is trying to give the public some insight into how we're making those decisions and how we're choosing or going to choose, you know, which programs and projects we're going to pursue and which ones we probably can't get to.
So we're still not in the construction phase.
Correct.
Right now it's more design and...
Yeah, I don't anticipate being... I'd be surprised if we do much construction until maybe the third or fourth quarter of 2020. You know, we're still a ways out on that.
Okay.
Yep.
I see there was at least something noteworthy on the conference center downtown. The city will work with, I guess you picked a developer.
We did. Well, Sprague Developers, we've, try to find the right way to say this, we've received authorization from the Redevelopment Commission to negotiate with them. And so over the next month, maybe two, we'll try to put together some of the details about how much we're going to build, where it'll be, how much it'll cost, what they'll pay, what we'll pay, and sort of how the whole thing will be configured. But those discussions will continue with Sprague in anticipation that we're going to be able to work with them in development of the sites.
Now, did I hear, are they the hotel developer or the hotel and conference center?
Hotel and conference center.
The whole guy.
Yeah,
will be under one developer.
Yeah, there are really three pieces to this as it sort of turns out or as it's developing. One is that there is a hotel conference center, which we view as one activity. There'll be a parking garage, which is a second activity. And there'll be some mixed-use residential activities will be probably south of 2nd Street in a little bit different area. And the name of the firm that we're working with there is Flaherty & Collins. But Flaherty & Collins and Sprague have partnered, you know, in this proposal, and so we talk about Sprague because they're local and we all know the name, but we'll also be working with a firm called Flaherty & Collins out of Indianapolis.
So how does all this come together now that you have this developer between, you know, you have what, county council, city council, mm-hmm. you know, the mayor's office, and then the commissioners and so on. How does all this come together to keep this moving forward?
Well, that's part of the art, right? I mean, how we try to get everybody to get onto the same page. But you're right, we've got several pieces that we've got to put together. One is the land. I mean, we want to use the county's parking lot, but we have to make an arrangement with the county to get control of that. We'll have to find alternative parking for them, and we've had some discussions with them about where that might be. They've got a probation department. There's a building on their site that houses a probation department, and so we'll have to figure out where that goes. And we're committed to making the county whole on that. We've got some financing issues that we've got to work through that would come through the Redevelopment Commission. We've done some phase environmental work and phase two studies on the county's parking lot. We've got those studies on our ground, which is east of the jail. And there are a few minor issues that we've got to work through. But, it's like the old analogy about how do you eat an elephant? You just take one bite at a time, right? And so we've got a bunch of to-dos, and we just line them up and check them off.
So there's not one committee or chair for that?
Well, the Redevelopment Commission is sort of driving the bus here. And okay. In the form of Heather Pope, who's the director of our redevelopment activities, they're the force that's sort of trying to keep the shoulder to the wheel kind of thing.
So something I did see driving in, we've been talking about,
Exciting, it seems like forever. Yeah.
But the railway overpass is being moved as we speak.
You're right. It seems like it's been going on forever. But the people at NDOT and others tell me that we're about 5 years ahead of schedule. So it is astounding, when you think about the progress that we've been able to make in the time that's been given to us. But you're right, they're out there now moving dirt, and they've cut down some trees, so you can begin to see the path that the new roadway will take. And, we're still on track, given that the weather cooperates, to be finished about a year from now. So we should be driving on this thing in December of 2020. The landscaping and some of that will take a little bit longer. We'll stretch into 2021. But it's kind of exciting to see it come together.
Do motorists need to worry about anything right now driving in that area?
They tell me that about 90% of the work will be done to the side of the existing roadways. So it should not affect traffic. Now, there will be a few weeks during the summer after the fair when State Road 11 will be closed. There will be a time when traffic on 46 will be down to one lane, in one direction or the other, or maybe moved, to the other lanes. But that's going to be kept to a minimum because the project really will sit aside the existing roadway.
And for those outside of Columbus, this is a overpass that will go over the railway.
Right. There's a railroad that runs between Louisville and Indiana, and it pretty much bisects Columbus. We've got about 30-40% of the city that's west of the railroad, and the balance is east of the railroad. We've got very few entryways or very few crossings over that railroad. So we've got a traffic funnel, that we call it, there at State Road 46, and this will alleviate that. Plus, even without the railroad, the junction, the intersection there between 46 and 11 is problematic. I mean, even at peak periods in the morning, the afternoon, the traffic backs up considerably. And so, we're hopeful that this is an improvement to that. It would have been needed without the railroad, but with the railroad, it's become a necessity. So we're excited to see it coming forward.
I just saw this report in the Republic. The city is amending parking violations on private property. What led the city to look into this?
Well, sometimes it can be difficult for us to put any teeth behind our zoning ordinances. And all we're really doing is moving, the requirements that are in the zoning ordinance into what we call the municipal code, which allows us then to enforce a little bit quicker and with a little bit more teeth the rules that we already have. And the notion gets to, folks who want to park a car in their front yard, and you knock on their door and you ask them, well, what's the deal with the car? And they say, well, it's, we're working on it. We're going to repair it. It's got a problem with the engine, and so we need a few weeks to get that taken care of. And a few weeks go by and the car's still there. Well, now you've got, if in the old regime, you had a zoning violation. So you had to go through the zoning board of appeals. You had to get their permission, if you will, to go enforce the zoning rules. It just took longer. And at the end of the day, there's no real penalty for violation of the zoning. So other than we could tow the car. And we really don't want to have to do that. We want to be able to go out to people, at the front end. Number one, have the same conversation with them that, this really needs to be taken care of, because our whole approach has been to just talk through with people what it is that we want them to do. Most people, once they realize what the rules are and, you know, the effect that this has on the neighborhood, they'll do the right thing. But every now and then you get somebody who's just a little recalcitrant, and so you want to be able to say, look, I'm going to give you a warning, then I'm going to give you a second warning, then I'm going to give you a ticket. And you can, you know, deal with the ticket. And so this just puts us in a position to do that.
I wanted to ask you, too, about this new city website called Bike Walk.
Yeah?
What's that?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't either. And I just saw it come up on my news feed, and I thought, I'm about to ask the mayor about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay.
So I'll go find out.
We'll
when
save
we're
that
done.
For January.
Yeah. Ask me then.
That's how new it is.
Yeah. We do take the pedestrian bicycle pathways pretty seriously. A place you might want to drive, if you can find it, is Weston Edge Drive, which is up north of, say, the Catholic Church, up north of North High School and Northside. Weston Edge starts at the end. There's a stoplight there on National Road. And it runs north, quarter mile, half mile. We rebuilt that street, and the whole notion was to try to make it a little bit more pedestrian friendly, bicycle friendly, try to do what we call traffic calming. And so you can sort of see that with respect to the curbs and the notion that the street is sort of constrained just a tad. And the whole idea is that people will drive a little slower if they feel a little bit constrained. If you give them an interstate, you know, where you've got a 2 mile vista and you've got 14 foot wide lanes, well, they're gonna do 70, 80 mile an hour because that's what they're accustomed to. And so if you have that in a residential area, well, people will just drive too fast because, you know, they'll just drive too fast. And so what we wanna do is to calm the traffic by having a little bit more narrower space within which to move, and some cues that you're in a residential area and somebody may be backing out of their driveway. So, you know, you need to slow down and pay attention.
Well, we're about out of time, but I did want to ask about a big event that's happening. I think it's this weekend for the holidays.
Yeah, this Saturday we have our Festival of Lights Parade. It's an annual event here and a pretty well-attended parade, as well as you know, there'll be some fireworks afterwards. We light the tree here at City Hall, and it's just kind of fun, you know. So we invite everybody to come downtown Columbus for Saturday evening for a Festival of Lights and just enjoy the community.
Where should people park if they're coming in from out of town?
Well, that can be an issue, but we've got a couple of parking garages on Jackson Street and 2nd Street that are available for the public, or will be. They'll be parking at Millrace Center. Millrace Park. And then there's some surface lots around town, so just find one. It'll be okay.
That was all I had. Did you have any announcements or anything that you'd like to say?
Not right now.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh,
we'll see you next year.
All right.